Om Shanti. It's very beautiful that God doesn't keep any secrets from us except one. He doesn't give us the date for the final moment. But there has to be some secret that God keeps just to make sure that we stay alert and we're on our toes. Otherwise, it would be very easy to get complacent. But apart from that one little secret, God has told us absolutely everything that's going on in terms of what it is He is doing, but also, very important, what it is He isn't doing. And the false expectations that we have of human beings bring us a lot of sorrow, but equally, the false expectations we have of God also causes problems. And then we moan and groan and complain, why isn't God doing this, that and the other and the other? But in fact, even if there's a human being who's pretty accurate, then you don't need to remind them, do this, do that, do the other. They know what it is they have to do. And if you do say something, they'll smile at you and just nod their head and get on with it. But especially God, we don't even need to remind Him. And then sometimes Baba tells us in the Avyakta Muralis that we reduce God to the status of a human being who needs to be reminded. But that's our wrong understanding and our expectation in terms of whatever it is we were wanting God to do. And it's not God's job. And so then when we're disappointed, we say, but why didn't you do it? But He wasn't meant to do it. It wasn't His job. But also, when there are things that have to happen, and they will happen in the drama, it'll be at the right moment. And God knows, and God will be waiting, like in the song, waiting patiently there for us. But God knows what He needs to do, and He'll do it at the right time. No time loss in either direction, neither early nor late. Just as in terms of jnana, we need to know about three things: the self and God and Rama. In the same way, in terms of knowing what it is God does or doesn't do, it's these three energies that come together. What is it that I have to do first, and then God is going to respond to that? But also, what is it that's fixed within the drama, and so it'll happen at the right moment, but I have to do what I need to do, and God is anyway doing what He needs to do, but I also have to learn to be patient, and at the right moment in the drama, I'll see it unfold. And if I think about the task that God has described for Himself in the Gita, and it's something that Baba has often mentioned in the Muralis, the real Gita, that God comes to give us a divine intellect and divine vision. And divine vision for some meant trance, and the role of trance started right from the very beginning of God's incarnation on earth. And so that was happening right just before Baba came. It was like the visions were an indication, a pre-warning that something was about to happen. And so you heard Brahma Baba's story. And so those visions coming, and then, of course, Baba coming. But also many, many, many others at that time also having visions. And so the process of awakening was happening in a very fast way. And that was part of that whole task of establishment. And then through the years, some of you I know have had very powerful visionary experiences, but it's nothing to wait for, but it does happen. And then as we approach the final period, and I really do feel it is the final period, no predictions of dates, but all the indications are that, I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of visionary experiences happening, because trying to convince people in words doesn't work. But if they have an experience themselves, then that becomes a very powerful way in which they can have faith. Whatever you say to them, you won't be able to shift somebody. But if somebody's thought deeply about something, that's one way in which they change their mind and their attitude. But the other is when there's been some direct experience that they've had, and nothing can take that away from them, and that really shifts their whole attitude and awareness completely. But also, even if we haven't had trance experiences and visions, but the way God is working through us and the way our vision has changed, and one is, yes, seeing the soul, and when you see souls and you see them sparkling in front of you like now, it's a very beautiful feeling. But also when you see things in terms of the whole cycle, I'm seeing things now and I'm getting affected by them, but if I keep that state of divine vision, connected of course with the divine intellect, but if I keep my vision on that level that Baba has blessed me with, because all of us do have divine intellects and divine vision, and the only problem is that we forget it from time to time, and at the time that we forget it, then it's very easy to lose it also. Because to keep your gift of the divine intellect that God has given, I need to protect it. I need to keep Baba's vibrations around me, so that it's Baba's vibrations that are able to protect me and protect the intellect. Because the vibrations of the world out there and all the things we see and hear, even in terms of all the tools that we have available for service now, it's very much a conscious choice of what it is we use in the right way. And if we're using the divine intellect, then we're making the right choices and we're doing the right things. But if we forget Baba and we forget ourselves and the intellect gets a little bit dull, then the choices we make are not the right choices, and the influence of the things we see and hear, all of that really makes a very big difference, and the divine intellect has lost that divinity. It's not a permanent state of affairs, it's a constant movement, and so I have to keep making sure that I keep the intellect clean. God's given me a divine intellect. That's his job. And he's done it. And the other thing that God helps me with on a daily basis to keep the intellect divine is Baba Smriti. Every day, Baba's giving me an opportunity again to allow the intellect to become clean. And whatever else it is that had been influencing me can get washed away, and just Baba coming back in. And what is it that Baba is saying? How is it that Baba sees things? And so Baba gives me the divine intellect, but then every day, Baba's there to help me with it. And it's not even just that Baba spoke the Murali in 1965, 1967, and then finish. But today, and this is the power of God, and with limited minds and intellects, it's, you can't make sense of it in that way. But God isn't omnipresent, and yet God somehow manages to be present. And wherever it is, the Murali is being read within a gathering. Very, very different to just reading the Murali on your own on the computer. But there's a special magic power within the gathering that comes together for specifically hearing Baba's words. A small group gathers together and there's an energy that's generated which is multiplied more beyond than just 1 + 1 + 1. But it's a different energy. But if that happens even when it's just a little group doing whatever it is they're doing, when people intentionally come together to hear Baba's Murali, they literally are invoking Baba at that moment. And Baba is present, whether it's in this part of the world, or here, or here, or here, or there. And also, Baba's kept pretty busy. And sometimes when trance messengers would go to Baba, and they wouldn't see Baba around, then after a moment or two, they'd see Baba, and Baba would say to them, "Well, Baba was busy." And so Daddy doesn't like this word busy, because her interpretation of it is where the intellect gets engaged in something mundane. But Baba uses the word busy in a very sweet way, being occupied in something very beautiful. And so when Baba says, "I'm busy," Baba's attention, not just on the bhagats, that's more or less wholesale, but Baba's attention on wherever it is, souls have gathered to be able to be with Baba and hear Baba's Murali. And if you look at the time zone starting from Japan all the way through to Honolulu, and Baba's Murali is being read all the time, everywhere, all along the journey, you can see that Baba making himself available and being there to give people that experience, that whoever it is who's the instrument reading the Murali, if I'm focused on the physical, then yes, I'll be thinking and commenting and whatever, whatever. But if I allow myself to just feel Baba's presence, I'll be able to see how Baba is sharing a beautiful message for me that's going to help me today in whatever it is I will be doing. Or Baba has been hearing me and knowing what's going on in my mind. And so Baba's actually giving me answers through that particular Murali of that day. And so if I listen to the Murali with that awareness that Baba is speaking to me, I'll feel Baba present. And it's not my imagination, but the soul has been able to experience Baba's presence, and Baba is there. And so this is why I say that it beats logic to see how it is possible for God to be here and here and here and here, everywhere, and yet not be omnipresent. And so God has this capacity, God has this power that He's able to do this. And so today also, God is very much engaged in helping us keep the divinity of our intellect, to keep the integrity of our intellect. Because miss a day's Murali, and definitely you feel a difference. And I'm not suggesting that you try it out, but I think you already experimented with that maybe somewhere along the line. But really, truly, that's a task that's ongoing for God. It started way back, and it's continued, and it's still going on today. And so, the divine intellect and God continuing to touch souls here and there and everywhere, and awakening them. And yes, God will send his messengers here and there, and so there'll be a meeting with somebody that'll lead to something, 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 and things will unfold. But God is consciously looking for his children. And why is it that suddenly there's an idea, I'd like to go here or I'd like to go there? And if it's really just my idea, then it doesn't work out so easily. But if truly my thought, Baba's touching, and the right moment in drama, and the thought comes, and it begins to happen, you begin to see it unfold. I'm thinking of various places where there weren't centers where Baba would send me here and there in different parts of the world. And that's how it would happen. Maybe somebody would have given an invitation a few years earlier and it wasn't the right moment. I wasn't ready. But then the moment comes and the soul feels absolutely clear that this is what needs to happen, and it's Baba's work, and it's Baba making it happen in a very beautiful way, and you see things unfold. And this has been the experience in several different places, and it continues. I'm seeing that it's still happening. I'm looking at Marina, Bosnia, and you know, we were all saying, it's going to be tough, it's going to be difficult, it's not so easy. And yet the soul was touched, and it was Baba's plan, and we saw service take off instantly, very, very beautifully. So it's not just that it happened in the past like that, but it's still happening right now. And it's great that we can see each other with our divine vision. So lights come, lights go, it's okay. And we carry on. It's actually interesting because it's reminding me of the situation. And some of you will remember from the days of Om Shanti Bhavan. Just indicate if you remember those days when, actually before Om Shanti Bhavan, in the meditation hall in particular, in the meditation hall in the early 80s, Baba would be very close to us. The gadi was here, we'd be there, and the lights would go, and Baba would continue. Baba would acknowledge that the lights had gone, but somehow the generator kept the sound going, and then the lights would come back on, etc., etc. But my point that God's work is very much still ongoing, and for me to be able to just simply catch what it is God wants me to do, I have to make sure that I keep my intellect very, very clean. The gift comes when somebody gives you a gift. They've given it to you. And then you have to make sure that you look after it. And that their thing is done. They've given it and that's it. It's finished. But you have to look after it. And in this case, yes, we have to continue to look after the gift that God has given. But also, God is still helping us every day. And if the day has gone by and things have been not as they should be, or at least that's what my own intellect is saying, then next morning, Baba sorts it out and puts it right. There was a recent experience I had, and it's not often that I think, but why is it like this? It shouldn't be like this. Not often, as I say, but there was one particular situation And there was this reaction from the intellect, but I don't understand what's going on. Why is it like this? Something needs to be done about this. And who, what, how, I didn't know. And next morning, I read the Sakar Murali, and the Sakar Murali is a perfect explanation of what it is that I've just witnessed the day before, and what it is that's happened. And Baba's Murali brings absolute comfort to the heart and peace to the mind, and it's very easy to say, okay, now I understand. And so that was just in the month of January. So I won't go into the detail of why, what and how, but it was something that many, many were experiencing at that time. It wasn't just me alone, but many in the family were experiencing that. But next day, Baba Smriti calmed us all down. So the support that Baba's giving us with the Sakar Murali, that really is tremendous health and strength for us. The Avyakt Murali, I see two things that have been happening over the last little while with the Avyakt Murali. One is that Baba is really underlining the most important things that we need to be aware of. One particular Murali, I think it was in November, and it was just be happy, just happiness, happiness, happiness. And Baba underlined that tremendously. And basically that was the message. Then the 18th January Murali, again, just one essential message there. Follow the Father, follow the Father, see the Father, follow the Father. And Baba didn't mind repeating it to us many times. Why? Because we still haven't understood that lesson. Sakar Murali's, Baba takes up the same point and explains it in many different ways. But in this particular Avyakt meeting, Baba was very, very specific. Again and again and again, maybe 8 times Baba told us, follow the Father. And so through each one of the Muralis this season, there's been a very, very specific message that Baba's been giving us. And the other thing is, Baba keeps giving us homework. And usually, you know, it's like when you used to make New Year resolutions. I don't know whether you still do, or whether you make your New Year's resolution for 18th January or Shivratri, I'm not sure. But when you make a resolution, then that's what's going to get challenged immediately the next day. Did you find that? Usually it happens, because it's like you're giving a challenge to Maya. Here I am, come, see what I'm doing. And so here was Baba telling us the other day, okay, check yourself for a month. And there was again one particular situation that was happening, and it was involving just a couple of people, not everyone. And I wasn't so much a part of the particular scene, so it wasn't a test for me. It was really just that I happened to be a witness to that scene. But as I witnessed that scene, I was thinking, I have to send a lot of love to the soul, to help the soul. And this morning, I got a phone call from one of the people involved in that scene, saying that I understand that I've upset so-and-so, I'm going to apologize to them. And they were looking for an opportunity. And then they went and spoke to that individual. And then a couple of hours later phoned me back again and said, I had an opportunity to speak and I think my thoughts have now stopped and this person's thoughts, I think, have also stopped about this particular scene. And I was really pleased that it had been resolved amicably between the two of them. But I was just aware that here's Baba giving us the homework that we have to do, and I'm witnessing what it is two other souls have had to go through. But one soul had the determined thought, I don't want to keep thinking about this, and if I don't sort it out now, it's going to disturb my yoga. I'm going to be remembering that soul rather than remembering God. And so they then made the effort, and with a lot of humility, it took a lot of humility on their part to reach out, but they did that, and it worked out. So what was God doing within all of this? And I think that God was touching that one soul who said, I have to reach out. They could easily have said, you know, why should I bother? Let them get on with it. And the other soul, yes, God wanted to help them too, but they were still quite stuck in their particular situation. And so God working through one individual, and the situation got resolved for both. And I share this story because, yes, when we make a commitment, it's going to be challenged. But B, something happens between two individuals, and it doesn't stay related to just those two individuals. If it gets sorted out fast, fine. With God's help, it gets sorted out. But if it doesn't get sorted out soon, then it festers and it grows and it begins to impact the atmosphere. And in this case, two souls with very important roles, and it could have impacted in a very big way. But Baba's help. What was God doing? I think God must have touched this soul, and she realized that if she were to reach out with total humility, then it could get sorted out. And so, what do I learn from that particular scene? I learn that when there's a situation that seems to be a very difficult, challenging one, am I able to connect with Baba and take Baba's help and see what it is Baba wants me to do at that time? And the block that comes in the way at that moment, and God can't break that block for me, I have to be able to break that block myself, is my ego. My ego says at that moment, I am right. My ego is saying, but it should be like this. And when I put myself in that situation, I am right, it should be like this, I know it has to be like this. What happened to the divinity? Well, the divinity flew out, and all I've got is my stuck ego, and I can't catch God's signal. And yet, if I'm able to check and acknowledge that, yes, there was something that I could have done differently, never mind even right or wrong, but there was something I could have done differently. At that moment, I'm giving space to God to come in again, and through that opening I've created, God can again open up my intellect and God can do what he needs to do. And so I heard somebody say the other day, God's magic is all around. I just have to get out of the way. And when it's that comment, I have to get out of the way, I, my ego. And then, as an instrument, God can do whatever he needs to do. And of course, making myself available as an instrument means that I receive Baba's blessings, but I also receive the blessings of the other. And so double blessings and my fortune and good karma. So essentially I'm seeing that if only, like Brahma Baba, God touched that intellect, made it divine, and there wasn't a moment that that divinity disappeared. Brahma Baba nurtured that divinity and kept it alive continually. When Baba says, you have to take one step forward, I'm waiting to come to you 100 steps, but your step of courage, and then all my help is available. I see how that again is part of this chemistry of how things work out. The whole subject of number wise and how here it's come up in the Sakar Muralis a few times. If it were only in God's hands, then everybody would be a king in the golden age. But it's us and God working together. And so what it is I am willing to do. And then, yes, God's blessings available and God's blessings there. When God explains to us the whole subject of karma, and so the divine intellect, the capacity to be able to understand, the capacity to be able to see, but within that in particular, God explaining the whole subject of what I should do and what the return of that will be, even the understanding of karma philosophy, to what extent Baba's explained to me in the Murali, and the Sakar Muralis have talked about external karma a lot, but also yoga power. But the Avyat Muralis have talked a lot about the subtle karma of thought and intention, my motive and my intention, and how that impacts things. And so the whole subject of karma is very, very clear to us. And we can give lots of lectures on it. And then when it actually comes to doing it, I see now this is where God again plays a very beautiful role. And that is to give us the power with which to be able to do what it is we understand has to be done. Elevated karma, absolutely with pure motive, pure intention. I can have that intention, but maybe I don't have the power to actually make it happen. And God gives me the power, and afterwards I'm able to say, well, it couldn't have been me. It must have been Baba. And if I remember that, yes, it must have been Baba, then I'll again begin to see many things happen. God again and again giving me an opportunity to take his power and see how things unfold. And where, again, ego comes in the way. Really, ego is the big one that blocks all help from God. But where ego comes in the way, then next time I can have the pure intention, but the power isn't reaching me. I haven't connected properly. And so things are taking longer, things are taking time, things are getting a bit sluggish, and it's not working out with the magic that it had happened before. But the recognition, it was Baba. It wasn't I. And if I just hold that awareness and I recognize who it is who's working, the door keeps opening and more opportunity. So the divine intellect, every day the sustenance to keep the intellect clean, and then further, the power that God gives us to be able to put our pure thoughts into practical shape, into practical action. But also, where there comes a moment when God's work needs to happen and things are not moving in the way that is God's plan. God's plan is to make things move quickly. I see again intervention. I heard this beautiful story of Gulbarga University by chance. Daddy made my program to go to this place, which I then later discovered that why Daddy's vision was focused on that. She's had a connection with it since 1969. It was one of the early centers that started, and the connection was with Pune when she was based there. And so she'd be sending teachers across to that city because it was one young Kumar alone doing service at that point. Anyway, so my program was made, and just a few days before the actual event, Mirabhen announced in the morning class that Daddy Ratan Moini is being awarded this doctorate by this university. And they were telling me afterwards, Daddy Ratan Moini and Karuna Bhai, when we connected, and she was coming back from there and I was going there, and we met in Ahmedabad. And nobody had actually worked to make it happen out of the Brahmin family. In the sense that, you know, sometimes you say, this will be very good for service. And what are the dadis going to do with a doctorate degree? They're not going to... How often did we call Daddy Prakashmani, Dr. Prakashmani? And I've never ever heard Daddy Janki being referred to as Dr. Janki. And not once, really. I haven't heard it once. But it becomes a way in which people get served. And it makes them happy. It's fine. But they were saying how whoever it is who had the idea and positioned it, okay. But nobody actually worked for it. But a woman who happens to be the wife of the vice chancellor of the university had come to one of the yoga camps in Madhuban during the summer last year. And she was very motivated. And she went ahead and she did all this and she made it happen. And about 50 people, no less, however many it was, they all got doctorates. But Daddy was the only woman. And in all the photographs and the papers and everything, it's Daddy who's there. Daddy Ratan Moini. She's there. She's there. And Baba. And so Daddy was commenting that, you know, when things are not moving as fast as they should, then God intervenes directly and makes things happen. Now, this was just an immediate recent example that I was witness to, because then when I went back to the same city, I was seeing still the impact of all of that service and how people were, they were ready. They'd been so deeply touched by everything that had happened in that particular ceremony and the news they'd read in the papers and everything, that it was a great preparation for further events later. So God can work directly also, but whose fortune is that? Yes, that one soul, but out of the Brahmin family, just happened. But Baba gives us opportunities to create fortune, and when we don't move, God will make things move. God's power, establishment, and how the whole story of establishment happened, it's a miracle. Really, we've often talked about a film, and you know, there was a film that I didn't see, but I saw the posters up, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And I think it was about Christ and the Bible and things like this. But really, the greatest story that hasn't yet been told to people out there is the story of the Yajna, the establishment story. And at some point, people will come to know about it. But equally, the other side, the transformation. I'm hesitant to use the word destruction, but the transformation and the story of Shankar being the destroyer of evil. And of course, then we understand what all that is about. But God's power of purification and how we're able to tap into that power that's able to change our sanskars. I'm very interested in that. Why? Because where we've been with Baba for many years and we still see sanskars within ourselves, and Baba says see and don't see, and so you do see and then you have to tell yourself, well, don't see. But similar story for the Brahmins also, sanskars that are not shifting. And I know that I have to hold a very determined thought that this has to go. And God can't make it disappear for me. It also has to be that synergy. God's power, but my own determination. So first thing, my determination. To have recognized something, and then to be able to say, I'm going to finish it. But second thing, to stay so closely connected with Baba, that I'm able to experience the fire of love and the fire of yoga. We don't talk so much about volcanic yoga anymore, but really that stage of the fire of yoga in which I am able to change my sanskars with God's power, I think this is something that is only possible in Sangam Yoga, and we're only tapping into it in a very little way. It's still waiting for us to be tapped into, and it has to be now. There isn't going to be much more time that we have to do this work, and so I think that it's a very important part of God's work that I have to acknowledge and then make a commitment to be able to take what God is offering, that power of transformation. Again, my ego comes in the way and I say, it's okay, it'll happen, it'll happen, it'll happen. or still there are things that others can see within me that I need to transform, and I'm not yet ready to see it for myself. But truly, when I practice deep soul consciousness, and this deep soul consciousness through the day, and the feeling of Baba's presence through the day, is a preparation then, when we have the opportunity to sit for yoga, then to feel the transformation of sanskaras, and the result of that will be that my thoughts are aligned exactly with what it is Baba wants, and things will move very, very fast. At the moment, Baba's telling us what he wants, and Baba's very explicit. All the Muralis are explaining to us what it is Baba's thinking, what it is that Baba wants. You know, sometimes people say to, it doesn't happen so much anymore, but until a couple of years ago, people would meet Daddy and they would say, Daddy, what do you want me to do? What do you want of me? And they were expecting Daddy to read into the soul, and but interesting that Daddy would pick up on things and would give signals, but as I say, there just isn't that sort of opportunity any longer. But when Baba was Sakar, again they would say to Baba, Baba, what would you like me to do? And Baba is telling us, at this moment in the drama, Baba's telling us very, very clearly what it is he would like to see. And when I'm willing, and it really has to be my readiness for that. You know, when Baba says that moths circle around the flame, and maybe all of us have dived into the flame from time to time, and then we've come out again. But at this point now, to dive into the flame and the old sanskaras burn and my identity is transformed and changed so that it isn't the same person of the old birth that's emerging, but really that fire has changed me, and that change should be something that I feel, but also something that's visible and noticed by all. And I think this is what Baba's waiting for. And even if it's a few that make this transition, then the few will impact the many. And that's it. It'll be time to go home. But I think that God's pouring out all his power and is inviting us to take that and really bring about that shift of total transformation, so that the divinity that Baba wants us to have, you know, Varas from Pathar, the stone turning divine, Varas, and so the Lord of Divinity. The Lord of Divinity is doing the work, but the stone keeps pulling back. But the moment of total transformation, so that total divinity is then visible, I think that that's what's going to happen now. And I see that this Madhuban season is really an opportunity to be able to experience that, to be in God's home, to be in God's lap, and to allow God to work on the soul and transform it and make it truly divine. The last thing that I want to mention very quickly, something that Daddy has mentioned from time to time, but from the time that she last mentioned it a little while ago, it stayed with me a lot, how God does and yet doesn't, akarta. And then because God does, but without any benefit for the self, then God is the one beyond the experience of what it is He's done. And then, God is the one who doesn't have to think. So the Hindi words are very nice. Akarta, abhokta, asochta. And how we have to be the same. Doing, but just as an instrument, not impacted by it, I in any way. I was there, Baba worked through me, it was Baba that did it, and nothing for the self. Then, if I'm in that state of doing and yet no consciousness of doing, then that stage of being able to go beyond the experience. I'm accepting the praise, then I have to accept the defamation. Both go together. And one moment it'll be praise, the next moment it'll be defamation. Absolutely. So you take one, you have to take the other. It's going to happen. And if you haven't taken the praise, if other things are coming, it's okay. You learn what you need to learn, but you won't be affected. And so then, that third stage, no wastage of energy, as Baba was saying, no wastage of thoughts, only the right thought at the right time, and you see it happen. And so God is this, and God is doing, and yet staying up above, and God is moving in a way in which the thought and action are together. No time lag between the two. But God is also teaching us how to be able to do the same. So explore that further for yourself. But Sangam Yuga is the time really for magic and God's magic at that. It's a very beautiful time to be with Baba and to be awake and alert and alive and to take all that God is offering. Om Shanti.